My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Congressman John Fleming, represents his state's 4th Congressional District, is also a member of the House Armed Services Committee. He and many other House Republicans are fighting to pass legislation that would avoid major, major spending cuts to national defense spending as mandated through a process called sequestration. Last summer, when the president and House Republicans came to an agreement on raising the debt ceiling, they created the fabled super committee. But if that super committee failed, which it did, there were mandatory spending cuts in place, which greatly affected defense spending as well as Medicare spending. And now, of course, House Republicans are working feverishly to reverse those major spending cuts to national defense before they were scheduled to kick in at the start of next year. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Great, Greg. Thank you so much for having me.
What exactly are House Republicans trying to do?
Well, as you, I think, very well outlined, last year there was negotiations between President Obama and Speaker Boehner to try to avoid a crisis, a government shutdown, because we were having to, at the same time, raise the national limit on the debt and try to fund budgets going forward. And President Obama did not want to have to deal politically with raising the debt ceiling more than once. So he and Speaker Boehner came upon this idea. It was the White House's idea, and Speaker Boehner reluctantly came on board with this idea. We're going to put in place a super committee, bipartisan group, bicameral, both the Senate and House, and they will all come together. And if they don't come to an agreement on cutting entitlements, which is where the danger zone is in our spending, then these automatic cuts go into effect called sequestration. And those cuts would hit defense heavy and also mainly Medicare spending. I voted against it, Greg. I was very seriously concerned that our president would not stand up for defense. And I voted against it, but it did pass 218 to 199 after contentious debate. And then, of course, the rest is history. The super committee came together and could not come to a deal. And here we are a year later, and beginning January 1st, deep, deep cuts in defense are going to occur, and deep cuts in Medicare will occur. And that's after we've already voluntarily cut $500 billion over the next 10 years from defense. Another $500 billion from sequestration would hollow out our military, take our Navy down to 1915, that's 1915 levels, and our Army and Air Force down to pre-World War II levels. And that's really could be make this a very dangerous world. So that kind of leads us up to where we are today. We as Republicans want to reverse sequestration, get the cuts where they need to be so that we can maintain the same balance in our spending and, you know, curtail our national budgetary spending, but at the same time not cut deeply into defense while our entitlement costs explode both now and in the future.
Let's follow up on a couple of the points you just made there, Congressman. First of all, with what you're trying to do with this legislation, does this remove all of the defense cuts called for in sequestration or just the bulk of them?
Let me clarify that in May we passed a bill, H.R. 5652, that said that if we do remove sequestration, that the cuts would fall where they should fall, which would be reducing the food stamp program, which, as you know, has gone totally out of control. That's an $80 billion a year program feeding one out of seven Americans, and we know that that's just not justifiable. It would prevent illegal immigrants from taking advantage of child tax credits and require them to use Social Security numbers, and also implement some moderate limitations on the Medicaid program in the future. So we've already set out a bill, put it in place, passed in the House, so that if we do end sequestration through this legislation we're voting on this week, we already have a plan where we would go with those cuts. So that is our commitment. Your question was, well, what do we do with defense? Does defense still take cuts? It is my understanding we restore all of the sequestration cuts back to defense, but not any of the initial $500 billion cuts that occurred early in 2011.
what we've heard from the president, at least a few months ago, I haven't heard him say anything about this all that recently, is that he's not budging on the cuts that are mandated through sequestration since the super committee failed. So as long as he is having that adamant line of defense against any changes to the sequestration process, what hope do you have of reversing it before the end of this year?
Well, that's the problem. Washington, for the last 3.5 years, has lacked leadership from the White House. Without leadership from the White House, we've been stuck in gridlock. We've gone to the president trying to resolve these issues. We accommodated him on this Budget Control Act and the super committee concept. That was his idea. It was to help him avoid dealing with raising the debt ceiling twice, so he would only have to do it once before his election. And then he turns around and avoids taking any difficult positions. He avoids doing anything in leadership. And he seems perfectly willing to allow our defense to be cut a total of $1 trillion over the next 10 years, which could make us much less competitive against a modernizing Chinese and Russian military, not to mention what's going on in Iran and other places around the world. That is why we're stuck where we are. No leadership from the White House.
You mentioned, sir, that another part of this is it cuts to Medicare. We've obviously heard a lot about that on the campaign trail. Where specifically would these cuts from sequestration go?
Democrats in Washington, they're very artful in what they do. The cuts would go against the providers, the doctors, health care facilities, hospice care, these sort of things. That way the Democrats can say, well, we don't have fingerprints on these cuts, because we're not cutting beneficiaries, we're cutting it against the providers. The problem is, Greg, that means that many of these providers will go out of business and they won't be able to provide care for Medicare. Many doctors today, a growing number, a very alarming number, are not taking any new Medicare patients. We're getting complaints across the country of those who are on Medicare who can't get appointments, can't find doctors, can't get the care. And so what we really are facing is the great potential of lack of access to care for Medicare recipients. So the point here being that just because the government is not cutting out your benefits, your government may be cutting off your access so that that card becomes worthless.
We're talking with Louisiana Congressman Bill Fleming. He's a doctor, which explains why he's so able to articulate the issues related to Medicare. He's also in the House Armed Services Committee and is very concerned, as you heard a moment ago, about the looming defense cuts if the current sequestration path is not adjusted. You mentioned, sir, also that this super committee and sequestration was President Obama's idea, and ultimately Speaker Boehner reluctantly went along with it. That doesn't change the fact, though, that Republicans had the majority in the House. You mentioned that you voted against it, and I have your statement from last summer very strongly explaining why you opposed it.
Yes.
But to what extent do Republicans as a whole own this, at least those who voted for it?
Well, I think that, again, I opposed my leadership. My leadership asked me to vote for it. Even the chairman of Armed Services asked me to vote for it. And I explained to them very clearly that I didn't trust President Obama to man up and provide leadership on this. I think that they were, quite frankly, being a bit naive to accept President Obama's word on things. I hadn't seen where he had provided leadership before, and he's not shown any real interest in keeping this nation strong in defense. In fact, since that time, he's made some other alarming statements, such as unilaterally disarming our nuclear stockpile from the required 1,500 down to 300 and maybe even zero it out completely, while we have nations around the world that are building and modernizing their nuclear stockpiles. So with an attitude like that and lack of leadership, I had no trust that the president would do the right thing, or even Democrats in the House and in the Senate. Therefore, I reluctantly have to say that my predictions came true. I wish I had been wrong, and I wish that my leadership had been right in this. And a number of them, I think, have come out since then saying that they regretted going along with that deal. And I think also Bob Woodward's book outlines very clearly, and he is certainly no conservative. He really explains this in great detail if people want more detail. But this was driven by the president, And our leadership, the Republican House leadership, went along reluctantly, but they had hoped that the president would provide leadership and do the right thing. But at the end of the day, he failed to come through.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Greg. Appreciate you.
Louisiana Republican Congressman John Fleming represents his state's 4th Congressional District. He's a longtime physician, small business owner, and now member also of the House Armed Services Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.